This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. Tons of breaking news today. I mean, one thing keeps getting replaced by another. First, there was just the Lakers getting blown out. Actually, let's go even before. The Nets win, but I don't know. Like, Harden was incredible and was not even up to his standard normally in a series-clinching win. And then the Lakers get blown out. Blown out. Schroeder doesn't show up. LeBron doesn't play great. No AD. They're about to collapse, but Chris Paul hurts his shoulder. Is that a glimmer of hope for the Lakers that it cancels out AD a bit? And then Denver-Portland. What a performance by Lillard and Jokic going under the radar somehow. The MVP. Who I think was actually the best player in the game. I think he controlled that game. One thing after... Then today, Danny Ainge stepping down. Brad Stevens moving upstairs from coach to GM. And now they're on a coach search. And then Krzyzewski is going to retire after this upcoming season. Oh, my God. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. You know, we'd come out of a COVID year where a lot of that, remember when the pandemic began, it's like, oh my God, there's nothing going on. The Michael Jordan documentary was like a live event. We were so thirsty. It's like the Eddie Murphy routine, right? Throw a starving man a cracker. Oh my God, this is delicious. What is this, a Ritz? The Last Dance was like, oh, this is a Ritz. And now it's like, oh, so much stuff going on. I don't even have time to follow baseball right now. You guys love baseball. Where's Aaron Rodgers going to end up? Julio Jones. Forget about all that. There's too much going on. Not to mention, there are UFOs in our airspace that we can't explain. And the Pentagon's report's supposed to come out this month. When that gets buried... Well, shouldn't that be leading the news? There it is. There's a picture on ESPN+. Like, I joke, but honestly, there's like a 20% chance that there's advanced extraterrestrial life in our airspace. I would, like, put it at a 1 in 5 shot, something like that. That it's not just, you know, Chinese or Russian technology or our own technology we can't understand or a hoax or a misunderstanding of some kind. There's like a 1 in 5 shot, according to my back-of-the-envelope calculation. Like, for real. But Krzyzewski knocks a... Like, that's like 11th on the list. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. So Krzyzewski, John Shire, has agreed to become the next head coach. He's going to spend the 21-22 season as a coach in waiting. I got to say, I'm just going to say it. There's a couple of elephant in the room things today. I wonder if fit is about to hit the shan in college basketball. And that includes Duke and everywhere else. And Krzyzewski's like, I don't need to stick around for this. I'm out. 888-SAY-ESPN. I mean, Adrian Wojnarowski just keeps dropping bombs. There needs to be some kind of a truce. Thought there was a Geneva Convention to stop this kind of bombing. Woj is bombing civilians. Stop it, Woj. I can't keep up with all the Woj bombs. Brad Stevens moving into the front office on a full-time role. And he's going to help in the coaching search. Now look, it seems pretty clear that that Danny Ainge, who is an excellent GM, but not the best in the league. And if you are a Celtics fan, your standards are extremely high. Danny Ainge built them up out of nothing and did a great job. But great's not good enough for the Celtics. One championship all these years and the inability to take the stockpile of resources he has. You know, the process in Philadelphia, Sam Hinkie, there's potential energy. You roll a rock, a boulder to the top of a hill. Once it reaches the top of the hill, it has a lot of potential energy. And if you push it down, it starts rolling downhill. That's kinetic energy. It's releasing the potential energy. Danny Ainge did great, as Hinkie did. Hinkie built up this huge war chest. And then The league sabotaged the Sixers, I think because they were afraid the process was working and it would encourage copycats, like teams tanking for 5 years in a row. But the league kind of forced Colangelo on the Sixers, and he was a disastrous choice, and he turned all the kind of potential energy that Hinkie built up into much less kinetic energy than there ought to have been. Same thing with Danny Ainge. He built up this war chest and all these assets, and he was never quite willing to pull the trigger. When he could steal it from you, when he could swindle the other team, he was all in. If he could steal a player, he'd do it, or a draft pick, he'd do it. But when the price was high, he's like, no, too expensive, too much. I can't give up that much in draft picks, prospects, players, whatever. He's one of these dudes. If you ever traded baseball cards as a kid, there were some kids who were like, they're never going to give you a fair deal, right? They're only going to do a deal where they feel like they're getting over. Ainge is one of these dudes. By the way, I know as a Yankees fan, I experienced the same thing with Brian Cashman. He's an excellent GM. But as a Yankees fan, I insist on the following. You don't have to win the World Series every year. No one does that. You must win the World Series more than anyone else. Certainly more than your rivals. Like when the Red Sox have won four to the Yankees one in this century so far, it's like you got to fire the GM because there are better GMs than him. And it's intolerable for the Yankees to have the second or third or fourth best GM. They must have the best. Must. Yankees fans insist. That's the standard. Celtics fans feel the same way about the Celtics. Ainge wasn't getting it. He was excellent. Not good enough. Let's be honest. And time for him to move on. Now, Brad Stevens, as a coach, was also excellent. 3 out of 4 years in the conference finals, the guy can coach, but he seemed to have lost the locker room. But the Celtics think highly of Brad Stevens. So, okay, you lose the locker room, but we like your basketball IQ. Let's make him GM. Now, the elephant in the room is that there's a lot of, I think, eye-rolling about the idea that the Celtics, Boston, New England, big Irish-American population in the area. The Celtics, of course, looked like the mascot, the little Lucky. An Irish kind of folk symbol, right? And Celtic, you're talking about Ireland, Scotland, and, you know, white people. And in the NBA, from that area, even though they were the first to start the all-black starting five, the Celtics, with Bird and McHale and Ainge, the last time they had a dynasty, their most visible and best players were white guys against the Lakers, an African-American team. I think, and then Boston gets hung fairly or unfairly with a rap as being racist, or they're more, you know, even Kyrie brought it up recently, that the elephant in the room is, and Stephen A. brought it up on the air today on First Take, white guy, Brad Stevens, white coach, loses his job as a coach, not working in the locker room, but he gets a promotion in a way to GM. Would that have happened for an African-American coach GM? I disagreed with Stephen A. about this. I think yes, the answer is yes. I saw Isaiah Thomas do that, go back and forth between the front office and the sidelines with the Knicks. Doc Rivers, great coach, underachieved with the Clippers, lost his job with the Clippers, got hired by the Sixers, powerhouse team. But that is the elephant in the room. That's what a lot of people are thinking right now. Now on the Goodyear hotline, John Ireland, Lakers play-by-play voice. John, good Lord, what happened last night? What happened?
Max, I'm not sure. Other than I picked at the start of the series, I said Lakers in seven. I just thought Phoenix had something. Mm-hmm. But I never thought we'd see a game either way where one team would win by 30. That was one team absolutely locked and loaded and ready to go, and the other team just getting hit by a bus. And the only good news, if you're a Laker fan, is it only counts as one game. So they're not dead, but after last night, there are a lot of people doubting him.
John Ireland, Lakers play-by-play voice on the Goodyear Hotline, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Here's what bothers me, John. I get AD's not in the game, and Drummond and Gasol and Kuzma are the guys who are expected to fill some of that role. But, John, to me, it's this, and this was the question heading into this season. LeBron and AD on the same team means you're not going to have great players around them. You're going to have role players because all your resources went into getting those guys, which is understandable. Of course, any team who could do that would do
that.
Sure. They lost Rondo, and Rondo's not a good regular season player, but he's a great playoff performer. He's great. Playoff Rondo's real. Schroeder is a much better regular season player, but the whole question was, can he be playoff Schroeder?
Right.
John, AD goes down. You're the third best player on the team. Step up. 9 attempts, 0 points. How could this happen?
And here's the interesting thing about that, Max, is, and this is kind of the story behind the story. In the two games that the Lakers won, you know, they're down 3-2.
Yeah.
Schroeder was great. He scores 24 points. He gets 6 or 7 assists. And in the three games that they've lost, he's been bad. And he turned down an $84 million offer from the Lakers early in the season so he could go to free agency. So he's, in essence, on a job interview. And so is Drummond. And so, if you're a Laker fan, that's your hope is, okay, these guys are going to look at the landscape and say, all right, we really need to come up big in game 6 and 7 because if our chapter ends like this, it potentially could cost them a lot of money. I know a lot of people don't pay attention to that stuff, but it's real in the NBA. These guys are playing for, you know, whether it be the Lakers or another team next year, they need to come up big, and last night they did the opposite.
Yes, they certainly did. I mean, this is what I know, John. Game 6 is in L.A. Chris Paul's shoulders all banged up. This is how I feel. I'm a Lakers fan. This is how I feel. If Schroeder doesn't show up for that game, I don't want him back. Like, whoever doesn't show up in the absence of AD with Chris Paul also banged up, like, bad. His shoulder's not in good shape. If you can't show up at home in win or go home, I don't want you back. Where are the Lakers as a franchise, do you think, with those players who are auditioning for a job?
Well, think about this, Max. Rob Pelinka has said from the beginning, ever since he got picked for the job, that he judges success in championships. He broke up the team when they won it last year. When they won it. You know, a lot of GMs will just say, okay, let's circle it back and bring everybody back. No, he went out and let Dwight Howard go. He let Rajon Rondo go. He went out and brought in other guys. He brought in Schroeder. He brought in Montrezl Harrell. He brought in outside people. And so if these guys struggle tomorrow night and the Lakers lose, I think everybody knows that Rob's not, I mean, he's not scared to break anything up when they win. Why would he be scared to break it up when they lose? But having said all that, I'm curious, because you've seen it a million times. You have a level of appreciation for LeBron like I do. And LeBron just wasn't there last night, but mm-hmm. he got no help. Are you 100% sure that you'll bet against LeBron coming back in this series?
No, I think it's
Either
going to a game 7, John, Either especially because look at Chris Paul at the end of that game.
Max,
he was not right.
If it gets to game 7, isn't that kind of where LeBron lives? Now, I know he's showing signs of that ankle not responding, but I was doing some homework on this, and you know, LeBron in elimination games averages more points.
Anyone ever. Yeah.
Well, here's his averages in elimination games. 34 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists.
Is that good?
That's more than Jordan and more than Wilt in points per game in elimination games. Now, I don't know how much of an issue the ankle is. I don't know, as you point out, fairly, if the role players are going to show up. I just, you know, I'm a Laker fan, so I'm kind of leading with my heart here, but I'm not betting against LeBron in an elimination scenario.
I have the same logic, but AD has to be able to go. Like, at this point, I think he has to play game 6, but then will he still be some semblance of AD? Before he left that game, he'd only scored 6 points, but John, once he came out of the game, the Suns grabbed the lead and just kept adding to it. They never looked back.
Right. Well, right?
Like, he changes the game.
Here's why your point about AD is a really good one. Max, everybody looks at AD in the two games that the Lakers won where he averaged 34 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
34 points, 12 rebounds. The reason Anthony Davis is so valuable is he's the best defensive player on the team for a defensive coach in Frank Vogel. And that was the weirdest thing about last night. The Lakers were the number one team in defensive efficiency this year, even though LeBron and AD missed all those games. The one thing you could kind of hang your hat on was they're going to defend. They're going to show up, and they're going to defend. Last night, they didn't. And one of the reasons why is, Max, they have the ability to switch everything because Anthony Davis, at 6'11", can guard all 5 positions.
That's crazy.
I've seen him guard point guards.
Nope, John, like, I have seen him do this, and I've never seen anyone else do it. I'm trying to think if Garnett ever did it. He's basically, at times,
guarding the pick and roll. Like, he's guarding right. both guys in a way. He's making it difficult for both ends of that play.
And if you watch last night, for example, Cameron Payne, who is having a great series, but he's not a great player. Cameron Payne just drove right to the basket on three or four occasions and laid it up. If Anthony Davis is in the game, Davis is like Shrek down there protecting the moat. You know, he's long and he defends and he gets into you. And that may be the puzzle that Frank Vogel needs to solve for tomorrow night. How do they get back to championship-level defense?
Does he play? Does he play game six, John?
I think it's a coin flip. He tried to warm up last night, Max, and I watched him in warm-ups, and he wasn't close. Let me just put it that way. He wasn't close last night. So I can't fairly answer your question, but if he doesn't, and LeBron hinted last night, he said, look, I'm preparing for this as if AD doesn't play. The number one thing they have to solve, above Dennis Schroeder showing up, above hitting outside shots, which they haven't done, what will give them a chance is if they get back to playing lockdown championship
hard
defense.
Hard to do it without your and best was, defender.
Right.
It's hard to do it without your best defender.
Hard to do
it
without AD, and there was no sign of it last night. So that's the puzzle.
John.
And even saying all that, Max, yeah. I'm still not betting against LeBron.
I hear you.
I'm scared to do it.
I think that because of the Chris Paul injury, like, Chris Paul, I didn't even know this. I didn't watch the second half of that game. I watched, not even till the end.
And it was weird. I didn't even watch the replay. It didn't even look like he got hit that bad.
No. So, like, I found out about that this morning. And as a Lakers fan, I was like, oh, wait a minute. There's a ray of hope. Because if Chris Paul's clearly not 100%, and he's, like, you know, that right shoulder's really bothering him. And maybe if that was on a lower extremity, he wouldn't be playing either, right? Like, an arm you can kind of get around. A leg you can't. So AD's in a different boat. But given that Chris Paul's compromised, I agree with you. This is going seven games. Like, LeBron will will this to a seventh game. And then who knows? Then, right, it's hard to bet
then
against LeBron.
Then it's a coin flip.
Here's the question I have for you. L.A. will always be a Lakers town. This is not New York, where New Yorkers don't understand. The Nets are about to flip New York. The Knicks have no real equity. They have emotional equity because people have rooted for them so long. I'm 47. I've never seen the Knicks win a championship. They won January of 73. I was born in August. My whole life I've never seen it. They haven't built in equity where if the Nets are amazing, they win championships. Nets will flip it. But the Lakers will never get flipped because they have real equity built in with the fans. They've done more for their fans than any franchise since Dr. Buss bought the team. But John, Snoop is coming out on Instagram talking about they're soft, and Kawhi and Paul George are from LA. So while they ain't going to flip the town, they might have some Lakers fans rooting for the stars on the other team, on the Clippers. Like, Kawhi might be coming for the crown in LA. Matt, to that, you say what?
I say you lived here too long for you to not know better. Laker fans are never rooting for the Clippers.
No, not the Clippers. Not
They're
the Clippers,
not
but I mean Kawhi.
George. They're not rooting for Kawhi, and I'll answer your question simply this way. If the Clippers win the title, the whole thing, my show, Mason and Ireland, the next day, the LA Times, above the fold will be, what are the Lakers going
no
to
doubt.
Do next?
John, there's no pushback on that. We're lockstep on that. What I'm saying, though, is people like Snoop, immediately, that's the impulse is, ooh, I'm mad at the Lakers right now. They didn't show up. But you start to look for things to have pride in, and it won't be the Clippers. You're right about that. But it could be Kawhi because he's from there. And he shows up. Like, if it winds up Clippers and Nets, for example, in the finals, there'll be people in L.A. rooting for Kawhi to show out for L.A. That's my issue right now.
I guarantee you, Snoop, Max, and I hope you get him on your show before that.
Yeah.
If the Nets meet the Clippers in the finals, Snoop and O'Shea Jackson will be rooting for the Nets. You'll look like they've been Nets fans for 30 years.
That's going to be interesting to see. I wonder because, John, you know what's crazy? You don't really get to choose who you root for. It just happens. Like, yep. I've been shocked by my rooting interests sometimes. Like, when my team isn't in and two other teams, I'm like, damn, really? I'm rooting for that team? But you just wind up doing it. That's going to be interesting. Time will tell, my friend. The great John Ireland.
And I'm not giving up on the Lakers yet either, by the way.
No, I'm not.
I'm not conceding that point.
I'm not giving up on the Lakers either, John, but whoa, it's a tall task.
We're on the
right
ledge.
Now.
We're on the ledge. I'll give you that.
It's a tall task. Come on, Schroeder. John Ireland joined me on the Goodyear Hotline. You can hear Mason in Ireland on 710 ESPN Daily. You can hear John, the play-by-play voice of the Lakers, here on ESPN Radio. Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Would Julio Jones make a certain team's Super Bowl favorites? No doubts next. If you're a business owner who's hiring, It can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack, but when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, their matching technology finds these qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So while other companies give you too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/M-A-X.
Coming up today with Jhenane Golan Jr.,
the smartest
basketball Hall
no
of Famer Chris Bosh. Coming up today with Jhenane Golan Jr., basketball Hall of Famer Chris Bosh, as our coverage of the NBA playoffs continue. Chris Bosh with Jhenane Golan Jr. today at 5 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. No doubt coming up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right. What do we have, Raj? What's on No Doubt today?
Well, first, let's take a listen to Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger.
Why don't we?
Ray, it was my idea. I told him I want to help the team out however we can. And so I went to them and told them that I would do whatever I could to help the team sign, you know, the guys that are going to help us win football games. I've been extremely blessed to play this game for a long time. And so, you know, that was one of the reasons I wanted to come back, because I knew we had obviously a great defense and some amazing weapons on offense. And so I wanted to come back to be a part of what I think is a special football team that everyone's overlooking, which is kind of cool too. And so in order to do that, to help get guys here, I felt that it was necessary to do that.
All right. So what's the question, Rod?
To do that, he means take a pay cut.
No.
And let me say this. Big Ben would not have been a Steeler if he didn't take a pay cut.
No doubt. Because he would have forced their hand, because they couldn't afford to pay. Like, he had some crazy cap hit. They couldn't afford to do it without restructuring. And he's not good enough to carry a team in when it matters most anymore. At least he wasn't last year. So that he would have forced their hand, and they would have had to start to plan for life without him immediately. So no doubt. No doubt. He had to restructure. He'd have been gone.
No doubt.
All right. Hey, Max, you would make the Seattle Seahawks NFC favorites if they can get Julio Jones.
Nah, son. Not the Seahawks.
Nah.
I would make the Ravens, I'd think of differently if they had Julio Jones. The Patriots, I'd think of differently if they had Julio
NFC,
Jones.
NFC.
No, I'm talking about teams that I think of differently in their conference.
Okay.
Doesn't matter if AFC or NFC. Mm-hmm. But not Seattle, because Seattle's problem is not a lack of offensive weapons or receiving targets. Sure, Julio Jones would certainly help. The issue is the offensive line and the defense. And I don't even think the offensive line's as bad as it used to be. But, like, Julio Jones, unless he can tackle guys or block, is not going to do what Seattle really needs. He'll make them better, but I wouldn't make them favorites based on Julio, no. Some teams I would, not the Seahawks.
All right. Hey, Max, it's National Running Day. Max, you could go out there right now and drop a mile on these fools. You could run for a whole mile right now.
No doubt. I could run for a mile. I just won't walk the next day. I have a bad back, Raj. I do a half hour a day on the elliptical like an old man. But I'll tell you what, I work up a pretty good sweat in that half hour. I dropped 15 COVID pound weights, like, you know, a social distancing weight, 15 pounds of it on the elliptical. But if Dr. Clapper told me this, matter of fact, I don't know, years ago, or six, seven years ago. 710 Zone, ESPN Radio Zone, Dr. Clapper, head of orthopedic surgery once upon a time at Cedars-Sinai.
What did he tell you?
He was like, yeah, you can run, but, you know, good luck walking the next day. I could run 5 miles if you want, but, like, my back, I'll have a problem, not just the next day, but for, like, weeks. I got a bad back.
Yeah, you're gonna pay a price. All right. Hey, and by the way, it's also a National Bubba Day. So not only do we have Bubba B. Brendan, you know, our technical leader, but can you name a former president known as Bubba as well?
Bill Clinton.
There you go.
Yeah.
B didn't think
now, Bubba also means in Yiddish, means grandma. And I was very close to my Bubba. I named my first child after her, Esther Kellerman.
Yeah.
Right. So I can't get down Bubba. With the, like, I call Brendan. I'm not going to call him the name I called my grandmother. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that wouldn't be right. All right, finally, before we get a couple calls in, Hey, the Hawks.
Sometimes I call him Brandon. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, the Hawks will put CP the franchise and the rest of the Knicks fans out of their misery tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. Here's the issue. I had to give three reasons on First Take today why that is. The first is Trae Young. He loosens up the entire defense with his fearlessness in terms of shooting from the outside and attacking the paint. He can finish in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
And both things create much better, higher percentage chances for his teammates, and he has more talented teammates than the Knicks. The second reason I gave was Julius Randle, who's totally miscast as a lead option on offense, and probably not even as the number two option. He's probably best served as the third option on offense, but he's the lead option for the Knicks. And my third reason is guys like Stephen A. Smith and Knicks fans at the Garden, who have enabled James Dolan's awful ownership for far too long. Don't forget, the Knicks just were a laughingstock completely around the league. Then the Nets get to New York and they start getting good, and now all of a sudden the Knicks are in the playoffs. They've won a single playoff game in the first round after they'd already lost home court. The road team already split on the road, the lower-seeded team. And New York threw a celebration like they'd won the whole thing. They I thought it was V-Day. I told you. It was like, what, did we just win the war? They're celebrating in the streets. One playoff win. Not a series. A win against a lower-seeded team after you already lost home court. And those fans have enabled Dolan's inept ownership of the team. And that's the reason the Knicks are terrible. So for those reasons, the Knicks will lose at home tonight to the Atlanta Hawks. But the Nets will continue to play. I don't know if you've noticed, they already beat the Celtics, and they're rampaging. But the Nets haven't even looked good yet. They're beating the Celtics by 15 points a game. It's like, oh, they're 20 points. Nets don't even look good. They look beatable, right? The Bucks are getting all confident. Oh, wait a minute. With all the shooters and Giannis, now everyone's getting confident because the Nets don't. They look very beatable. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Bet against the Nets. Go ahead. No Doubt was brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. I'm going to get to your calls. Plus, proof that we're not alone. The Ultimate Fighter is back, the reality show that brings top MMA prospects together under one roof to compete for a UFC contract, is on ESPN+. Stream new episodes every Tuesday only on ESPN+. You can also stream my show. You can stream a Greeny show. Greeny. Along with hours of daily sports talk. You know if that Greeny show's called Greeny. You know what that makes it, Raj? It makes it the eponymous show.
What?
The eponymous show. Yeah. It's named after. It's his name. Okay. Is the same as the name of the show. Sign up
so
now.
Yours as well?
Mine's the anonymous show, I think. I don't know. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/UFC.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80 and wherever you get your podcasts. And whatever you get your podcasts. Whenever you get your podcasts. Something to do with podcasts. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Is there anything I need to say about Instagram or social media, TikTok, Raj, something? Do I sound
I think you got it all covered.
Like I know what's going on with communications.
Yeah. You sound
Last
big.
Take
you
is brought it? To you by Dell. Dell Technologies summer sale event can save your business up to 45% on secure PCs built for businesses or business with Windows 10 Pro. Rise to the challenge. Call 877-ASK-DELL.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Maybe the most significant event in human history is ongoing, and it's not being discussed seriously or reported. Now, I'm cynical. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't indulge in low quality information, you know, like theories based on low quality information. Like anti-vaxxers, you're out of your mind. Like, I don't mince words about that. And when I heard people talk about, oh, UFOs, I'm like, okay, everyone calm down. Yes, of course, there's extraterrestrial life. Some of it's probably advanced because the universe is enormous. There are billions of stars in our galaxy. There are millions of galaxies. Of course, there's life on Earth. There may be life at some point on Mars. There may have been on one of Saturn or Jupiter's moons under the ice, right? So in one solar system, we know of life here and maybe a couple other heavenly bodies. You mean to tell me in all the universe we're alone? Probably not. And so, but like, that's a lot different than saying we're being visited by extraterrestrials. Everyone, stop being so hysterical. But I got to tell you, I've heard theories about these unidentified flying objects in U.S. airspace, which the Pentagon acknowledges we don't know what it is. Eyewitness accounts, infrared, caught on infrared cameras, and with photographic evidence of a body about the size of an airplane, of like a 737 or 47 aircraft moving apparently without a propulsion system at 60,000 miles an hour. Like credible sources saying this. Even Barack Obama was on a late night show, said, honestly, like when I got to be president, I said, is there a room with like the little green men? Do we have an alien? They're like, no, there's nothing like that. But he said, like, we don't know what this is. And the Pentagon's supposed to release a report this week. Even the Navy's now saying there's stuff underwater they can't explain. But, and by the way, I've heard a lot of theories about this. The military-industrial complex is stirring this up so we spend more money on the military or on whatever, right? I've heard maybe it's a hoax. It's possible. All these things are possible. Maybe it's Russian or Chinese technology we're not aware of. Maybe it's U.S. technology. Maybe it's a misunderstanding of other kind of events. Those are all possible, meaning I wouldn't say it's a 50-50 shot that this is extraterrestrial, advanced alien life. I'd give it like a 1 in 5 shot, though. This is a non-negligible chance. Like, I can't believe I say I'm going to talk about this on the show all the time because I can't believe that no one else is talking about it. Anyway, newly released radar footage now shows that the Navy's USS Omaha was located about 125 miles off the coast of San Diego in July 2019 when it was swarmed by as many as 14 unidentified flying objects. Now, by the way, an unidentified flying object, a UFO, could be an earthly one, right? Like, just we can't identify what it is. But there is reason to believe, like, experts and eyewitnesses who would know say, well, this does not look like earthly technology. This radar video was made public by filmmaker Jeremy Corbell, the same documentary filmmaker that was recently in the news after a Pentagon spokesperson admitted that the United States government's unidentified aerial phenomenon, UAPs is what they call the UFOs. All the kids are, the hip kids are now all calling UFOs UAPs. Task Force has been investigating other videos and photos he has released. The footage taken from Combat Information Center of the USS Omaha is from the same event. And Corbell, who's refused to identify his sources, says he believes it's, quote, corroborative electro-optic data demonstrating a significant UFO event series in a warning area off San Diego. It's significant because the military takes any kind of invasion of our airspace extremely seriously. And we can't even identify it. We can't, even though we've put our eyes on it, have photographic evidence, infrared evidence, radar footage, we can't catch up to it. It murks. It comes up, looks at us, and a second later, 60,000 miles an hour, it's you know, miles away. We have no idea how it got there so fast. Raj, am I crazy? Isn't this earth-shattering? Hopefully it's not earth-shattering.
I think it's crazy that you're just giving it that you're saying there's a chance. Because I'd before you've always poo-pooed these stories, and I'm amazed. This is progress.
It's a non-negligible chance. It's a non-negligible chance. It's not like, you know, vanishing chance. It's a serious 1 in 5 shot, I would give it. It's a very, very high shot. Joe in Ohio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max.
Yes, Joe.
It is my opinion that, even including you, that the American public views the announcers at ESPN more trustworthy than they do out of any other news organization or, of course, the crap that comes out of Washington. Mm-hmm. And that was evident when all you guys jumped on the social injustice mm-hmm. theme mm-hmm. and went for it, and rightfully so, for weeks. Mm-hmm. Now, I personally believe, and I wonder why you guys have never jumped as hard on the COVID wearing masks and right now on getting vaccinations. If you guys put more effort into it, I think you'd make a huge difference.
Into something with COVID? I couldn't hear what you said. What?
Well, the masks first.
What about the masks? Well, we should have gone to masks much earlier. And now the guidance of the CDC and the president are both that masks for fully vaccinated people are unnecessary and social distancing is unnecessary. And I listen to the guidance of the CDC. I'm not sure what the point was there, but Dakota in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, big fan. Well, I'm just I'm a Laker fan, and I'm pretty worried. Like, you know, we got AD. He can't stay healthy at all. And I'm worried what we're going to do this summer. Like, LeBron's clearly getting old. I mean, it's just like, do we go for Kyle Lowry? Like, we have no trade assets, really. Just like, what do you think, you know, as a Laker fan, we should do?
Well, if you have a chance to hold on to LeBron and AD, you have to do it. Because when they are healthy, that's an impossible combination. But we knew going into it that we were getting a much older player in LeBron and an injury-prone player in AD. And we're willing to take the roll of the dice to get a couple championships. And hopefully it's a couple and not one. Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.